My brother priests and dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's really nice to greet all of you today and to come and celebrate the Eucharist with you. I'm not going to go ahead and ask for another collection, so hold on to your wallets, you're okay. I'm not here to give any news other than the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the great blessings, you know, that a bishop has, and especially I do, with 106 parishes across the 20 counties. And while I can't get to every parish every year, I try my best so that I get to see God's faithful people. And that's all of you. What a blessing you are to the church, but a special blessing to me. And how grateful I am to be your bishop. So I ask you, if you're on your prayer list and you got it alphabetical, if you don't have anybody yet under the letter Q, you got me, huh? So put me in there. And I assure you, your prayers are very valued by me. Also, I want to thank our two priests that provide the wonderful pastoral care for all of you here at Resurrection. I thank Father Sean, especially. He's my MC and often will accompany me to parishes. But also for all of you, I know what a wonderful heart and what a loving person he is. And I thank him for that long and generous service. And also, he's going around parish to parish where we need someone to fill in and always ready to go. Let's thank first Father Sean. Huh? And also your pastor, Father Schuster. Not only is he a wonderful pastor with a heart of a general great shepherd, cares for all of you, but he helps me with being a consultor on our personnel committee. He's always helping me, and also as one of our assistant vicars to help with clergy. So not only is he engaged with all of you, but he's very helpful to me. Let's thank Father Peter, huh? For his work. As someone said to me, if you want to get it done, get it to Father Peter. It'll be done and on time and under budget. How's that? Jesus in the gospel today goes home. Going home has many meanings. But this was Jesus' first visit back to Nazareth since he had grown up. And people have expectations of you when you come back home, especially if you've been away and now they get to see you. When I was named a bishop, I remember my home parish invited me to come back and say Mass. And I hadn't been home in a while, but lots of people were still there who remember me growing up. And I remember this one man came up and said to me, "Do you remember me? I was your little league coach." And of course you think, oh no. And I said, "Well, was I any good?" He said, "I'm so glad you found a day job." And then there was a very tiny person, very short, who came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I was your second grade teacher. Do you remember me?" I said, "Of course I do." And she said, "I just need to know, you were always losing your boots. Did you ever find them?" I said, "Thanks, and your patience with me." It's interesting, isn't it? The memories and how people respond to us. Wouldn't expect anything different than when Jesus goes home. Except, remember, they've been hearing about his miracles. And they said to him, "Do here what you've been doing every other place. Give us something that will dazzle us. Well, Jesus knows what's really in their hearts. And he knows that it really wasn't because they had faith in him, but rather they just wanted to see something spectacular. Well, Jesus gives them a teaching, and they're not real happy about it. He reminds them that God's action came to people who weren't even Jewish, who were outside of the community, people of faith who believed, and God responded. Well, instead of giving the miracle to the people of Nazareth, Jesus reminds them they got to have faith. Nothing spectacular ever happens unless we can give our hearts to the Lord. And he reminds them about how God helped that leper who was a Gentile and the widow of Zarephath who received the bread. Well, they get angry. Fortunately, at my home parish, they didn't get angry at me, because you saw what happened. They drove Jesus to the very brink, the brow of the hill. They had had enough, and they were ready to throw him over. But then Jesus performs his miracle. He walks right through their midst. Instead of them controlling him, he shows he's the one, he's the Lord, and can walk through even opposition. Well, in our lives, I think we have to realize as we grow in our faith, not everyone's going to like us. In fact, maybe you found in your own heart, you try and sometimes maybe be a little too quiet about what you really believe. Maybe about the right to life movement. Times when you'd like to speak up, but you're afraid because you think, what are they going to think of me? They may think I'm not as expansive in my views. And to go ahead and believe deeply in the preciousness of life, to stand up like Jesus for what's true, boy, you risk, don't you? Or when you have a deep conversion in your life, and Mass is more than just coming and waiting for the sermon to be over, that you come so that the Lord can nourish you. People who come every day, who are so in love with the Lord, they want to be with him. People who come during the week in that beautiful adoration chapel to come to know Jesus personally and with real care. Sometimes people will say, boy, that person's got too much religion. Are they trying to be too Catholic? Brothers and sisters, don't allow that to happen in your heart. Practice your faith, whether it's easy or challenging, and let Jesus be the one who carries you. I mean, he's the one who at the end of our lives is going to judge us. He's the one who's going to be there to open his arms to us. And most of all, let's be careful about how maybe we judge each other. It's so easy for us to get an idea of another person, and we don't expect anything more. And I've been teaching over 40 years. I still teach at St. Mary's University. And the easiest thing for me is to find out their grade point average. If they're really smart, of course, they're going to do well. The bigger challenge for me is not to know who's smart. It's to help me help all of them to become smart. Whether or not they do well in certain classes or not, but not to see them as a stereotype because of how they dress Some of my students, you know, I teach at 8 in the morning. They come in pajamas. Some of them still holding a bagel. Some with a latte. Just trying to find the desk. Just to try and get ready. Well, it's easy, especially if their hair is colored. If they have earrings. It's easy to look at the outside. God looks at the inside. And he invites us, unlike those in Nazareth, don't be fooled by appearances, but to see the human heart. That gospel today is a challenge for us, not only in living for Jesus, but in how we approach one another. That first reading, just treasure it. It says, "Before I knit you in the womb, I knew who you were." God had great expectations. He sent you into this world to love him and do great things. At second reading, don't be just a noisy gong, but be someone of love. Love for the Lord and for others. Let that love bring the light into this world. Well, I'll tell you, after I was done visiting my home parish, I was amazed at how many people had memories of me that I didn't even recall. Sometimes they were so good, I knew they had me mixed up with someone else. And I said, "Sure, yes, I remember singing O Holy Night." I couldn't sing O Holy Night if I tried. Just remember, our impressions of one another change. Our understanding of God grows. But God's love for you is permanent. He knows just who you are. And the grace that he gives you every day is the grace to become more like him, but also to proclaim him, so he doesn't walk through your life, but he becomes part of your life. And you walk with him and let him do great things through you, because Jesus is the center of your life. And one last thought. Blessed are all of you. As Catholics, we've been through probably the roughest 6 months I've ever remembered. Times of scandal and shock. People write to me and they hope I can give them answers. Most of the things I'm learning just like you do. Blessed are you. You're all here for Mass. You have a deep faith. You're committed to the Lord. And boy, you strengthen my faith. As your bishop, thank you. Thank you for living this gospel, letting Jesus remain in your heart when you could walk away, when you could say, "I'm too embarrassed to be a Catholic." Blessed are you, and know your reward, not mine. I can't give rewards. I give grades to students. Blessed are you. Your reward will be great in heaven.